James chapter number 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, you can go on down in verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. When you look through James, go to verse 14. I'm going to read this one, then a few verses here, and this is all I'm going to read. Verse 14 of chapter 2 in James. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I've been studying about faith and works. Faith and works. I've been thinking about the Apostle James and the doctrine here of faith and works that he begins to preach and to explain in great detail. When he said, can faith save him? Now, the Apostle Paul, when he preached, He said, for you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. The salvation that you and I enjoy, I think there is enough scripture, and we're going to look at some things, and I want us to look at faith and works tonight together. I believe that there's enough scripture that show, that prove, that Christ Himself is the giver of salvation. Amen. He is the one that has paid for sin, paid for eternal life for the sinner, and salvation. And that salvation bestowed upon us is by His grace. That gaining of salvation, there's not, I don't believe the Bible teaches that there's one work that you and I could do to add to God's grace. And then therefore cause our salvation. I believe that it is a free gift. The free gift of God. There's a fine line that people need to understand in their mind and in their heart. And real salvation, listen to me, real God-given, grace-given salvation will impute this into the believer. I believe that when we are birthed into the kingdom of heaven, birthed into the family of God, that something is birthed in us. Now, James, he asked this question, can faith save him? Can faith save him? And he gives this great example of someone that does a work. He said, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. And he's likening that to faith without works. And then he says, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And he says this, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. I really believe, listen, James, some of his language is very strong. That a lot of people believe that James preaches that works along with faith is what brings salvation. I don't think that that's what he's saying at all. I believe with everything that's within me, that it is an evidence of real faith. An evidence of real faith. There is always the evidence of God being somewhere. When you look through the epistle of James, he talks about our faith being tested. The test of faith, true religion, and pure religion, and it has a work attached to it. It has a work attached to it. I believe just like God's grace and man's free will go hand in hand together. There are those that believe that so strongly that salvation is by grace. In other words, that man has absolutely nothing to do with it. Not even to necessarily say, to believe even, that that was a gift from God. And so, which it is. He gives every one of us a measure of faith. I understand that. But to erase man's free will, you're erasing a lot of Scripture. God doesn't just say, I'm going to save him and not save him. And now there's Scripture that looks like that the creator of the vessels, the potter, can make one clay a vessel unto honor and another one a vessel to destruction. And who is to say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? You remember Paul's teaching in Romans and in Corinthians? Well, the explanation, again, that you have to try to understand in many places. There are Scripture where the apostle is talking about being justified by God. And then there are, I think James talks a lot right here about being justified before man. Why? Because all they're going to see is our works. Here's something I want to give to you, Bible students. Have you ever thought about this? This is kind of off the cuff. James, same name biblically as Jacob, right? Same name, exact same. James and Jacob. Now, look at that verse number one. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. God gave them a Jacob to write to them. Jacob wrote to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this is not the Jacob that bore Isaac, but it's just a thought. You know, there could be, you know, some reason why that God allowed James here, or Jacob, as his name could be, to write to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, I know that this is not a book. Listen, this is not a book that came from the Old Testament and somehow showed up in the New Testament. This is not the Jacob that had the 12 sons. Are you listening? This is the James that is writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad in the book of Acts. And you'll find it in the book of Acts where they were scattered abroad. And it was because God allowed persecution to come upon the early church. And that early church was mostly Jewish, if not all Jewish. And because they didn't go into all the world, God scattered them with persecution. Anyways, James, when you read his epistles, and it is very important that you and I study to show ourselves approved and to see how faith and works interact and what it means concerning our salvation, our justification, our sanctification, how it relates in our life. Because we want to be, as the Apostle Paul, now if you'll go over to the book of Titus, and let's look at just a couple of things that the Apostle Paul had said. I want to show you something. Paul's writing to Titus. Now you remember, Paul is a grace preacher. You're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself, not of works. I mean, just over and over, he says, not of yourselves, not of works. It's a gift. Now, what we see first in Titus, Paul is writing to Titus, and in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Now, that's their belief. It's what they believe. And here's what he wants. And the acknowledging of the truth. I think it is very, very much a necessity for us to acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge it. If you don't acknowledge the truth, you'll never get grounded. You must acknowledge the truth. To acknowledge it, again, he said, which is after godliness. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. When we acknowledge the truth, listening to me, it will, what will it do? It will bring about godliness. The truth. And what does the truth have to do? Listen, it's what we're putting our faith in. Faith without works. So the acknowledging of the truth, I mean to acknowledge the truth is to believe. To really believe. To have faith. I think when a sinner gets saved, he's acknowledging the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. A person's got to believe that. You've got to acknowledge the truth. And Paul is saying it is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. Now in verse number 9, he tells him this. Paul told Titus, holding fast the faithful word. There's you one, Brother Dave. The word of God is the faithful word. It is the faithful word. As he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince. Exhorting and convincing. Now look at this. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, I said all that to say this. I read that. Because circumcision is a work. And this is part of The problem in the early church, you had those that were of the gospel of Peter, which was the gospel of circumcision. Paul's was the gospel of grace to the Gentile. Peter had the gospel of circumcision unto the Jew. He preached salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and be circumcised to them Jews. Yes, we are still doing we're still being obedient to God according to the law of Moses. But we're saved by the blood of Jesus. But yes, we do need to be obedient and be circumcised. That's how Peter preached. He's preaching about that salvation and that work follows. Now here's what Paul is saying. You know where the problem of those that are unruly, those that are talkers and deceivers, it especially comes from them of the circumcision. Those that say they believed in work were the very ones that were deceiving people in the gospel, and they were unruly. They were vain. They didn't hold fast the faithful word. So they were saying, you know, we're right, we're right, we're the ones, you know, right, we're the circumcision. And they were the ones that were actually troublemakers. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that works after salvation is wrong. But I think they identified their work with their salvation too closely. Look what the apostle said. Go on down in chapter 1. In verse 16, they profess that they know God. Now here's what the apostle, the grace preacher saying. See, he is preaching. There is a work that comes into the believer's life after salvation. It's evident. It's there. He said they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient. So he believed in obedience after salvation. And unto every good work, reprobate. They were reprobate. They were reject, cast away. So the Apostle Paul is telling Titus, you know, he's preaching about the faith. He's preaching about salvation. He's giving the gospel. He is teaching and preaching sound doctrine, the truth. And he's talking about people that know God. And he said, these, they profess that they know God. That lets me know Paul wasn't convinced. You know why Paul wasn't convinced? Because in works they denied him. They were abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Now in chapter 2, he said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober. Be sober. Grave, temperate. Sound in faith. Sound in faith. Sound in believing. Sound in salvation. Look what he said about the aged women. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior. Look at the language. These are works words. He's telling them this is how they should be if they're saved. be in behavior as becometh holiness. If you ask the Apostle Paul what an elderly lady in the church is saved, how she is supposed to act, he would say she should behave holy. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, good works. Teachers of good works. Teaching the young women good works. Teaching them to be sober. To love their husbands. To love their children. Saying, the elders teaching the younger ones how to love their husband right. How to love their children right. These are works. These are things that bring about Christian identity. Is that making sense? Christian identity. There are certain things that children of God do and certain things that children of God don't do. According to the Scripture. According to the Scripture. Always your life should be based on the role models of this Bible and upon the Scripture itself. Amen? That's how you become sound in the faith. That's how your works profess godliness. If you're truly saved, that's what is happening. You're growing. You're walking with Christ, growing in grace, walking in the light. But a person that's not saved has no interest. No interest in the holy things of God. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. He says that just plain out, good. Teach her to be good. If that's not good works, telling somebody to be good. That a saved person, see, you are striving in these things in life. You're adding these things in your life. People have to be taught. People have to be taught. That's why I say things. Sometimes, maybe things that you may not understand, or maybe you think that I'm just trying to pick on you or something. No, I'm trying to teach you actually what the Scripture says, what the Bible says, what God would be pleased with in your life. Whether you do it or not is between you and God. But you teach. You teach them. The older women teach the younger women. The elder men teach the younger men. And we teach them how to work for the Lord. And the works that should come forth from our life. How to edify them. How to strengthen them. Listen, here's one. This is a spiritual one. This is as much a spiritual work as anything. And the disciples asked the Lord to show them how. Lord, teach us to pray. If it's just all grace, why do I need to bend my knees, get down, and why do I need to, you know, close my eyes and put my hands together and pray, pray with my spend time. I could be doing other things. I've got things to do. This is a work. It's a labor of love. That's what it is. It's a labor of love. And listen, I do that not to be saved, but because I am saved. I'm doing these things. I study God's Word. I pray. I walk in holiness. Are you listening to me? We walk in the light. He's showing them how. I've had men, thank God, over the years, tell me how to love my wife better. Thank God for the instruction. How to be, you know, to be good to them. How I can be a better daddy and a better husband. We need that instruction. And when you do that, you do it if you love that person. Right? If you love that person, you do those things. Well, same thing. If I'm in a relationship, if I'm truly saved, I'm in a relationship with Christ. I want to do those things that make Him happy. Paul's speaking of this. In verse 7, he said, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." Paul said that. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. That's a model. You should have a pattern or a model of good works that you go by. To be saved? No, because you are saved. You know what good works is? It's fruit. It's not all the fruit, but it is fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. God abounds in our life as we submit to Him. And then there are those works that you and I work on in our lives and do or don't do. Paul said this in verse 11, "Look, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God that bringeth salvation. What brought salvation? The grace of God. What does it do? Teaching us. It is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We deny ungodliness. We deny worldly lust. We live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world. Man shall not. Man or woman shall not. And then that means not just Israel. That means everybody. And there's a lot of doctrine that gets messed up because people just don't look at the difference in God speaking to them and speaking to everybody. There are a lot of religions that are trying to claim the promises of Israel. You know, some of them guys on TV, they'll take the promise God gave to Abraham about, you know, the ever step where the sole of his foot stepped. God did give it to him. And they try to name it, claim it, you know. Woo-hoo. Well, I'd like to do that. I'd walk around the United States, amen, if I know God is going to give me everything that everywhere my foot stepped. But that's not how it works.